So, how excited are you to be back in Pensacola again, sir?
Well, it's fantastic. I tell you, we're this is no kidding. This will be our halfway point and completing our season for 2022, and we're super excited to be here. It's been a fantastic season so far. Our 76th anniversary in just the second year of the Super Hornet and the Super Hercules. I'll tell you, to come out here to go into the iconic show that Pensacola Beach is, and to represent over 800,000 active duty reserve and civilian support personnel in the Navy and Marine Corps, something we are honored to do, and more specifically for the Pensacola community, which is so supportive of us.
Top Gun obviously has come out. Have you seen it?
We have. We had an opportunity to go on the road. We're up in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Got a chance to go to a showing of it, or a screening of it, rather. And it was fantastic. A lot of friends who had participated in the production of that movie, to include one of the former Blue Angels, Commander Frank Weiser, one of the Blue Angel greats. So we were excited to see it. And we've seen a palpable excitement at Crowdline and throughout the air shows we've had. It's been record crowds, sellout crowds, and a lot of Top Gun t-shirts we're seeing around the crowd line.
Which movie's better, in your humble opinion?
Well, gosh, I'll tell you what. I think they were both iconic. I think the second one, though, I think just some of the, they took it to the next level, you know, and kind of modernized some of the videography, and we're super excited about it.
So, obviously, second year flying the Super Hornet. You came on the team when you were still flying the Legacy Birds, if I'm not mistaken.
Is
that correct?
Yes, sir. We did.
Talk about some of the differences. I know Commander Wise just talked a lot about the transition and the software that kind of got in the way of trying to make some of the maneuvers. But how has the transition been from your perspective second year in?
It's been fantastic. We've taken all the lessons learned from the previous jet transitions. We had a great transition team like Frank Weiser, working with Boeing and some of our NAVA representatives, and it's been fantastic. At the end of the day, we've got a aircraft that's bigger, more power. It's got more redundancy in the electronics, the hydraulics, all the stuff that you'd want to fly, and I think it's just generally a better airshow bird. You know, you can see it. It looks bigger to the crowd. Apparent, I think that was one of the things that we saw right off the bat, and people were like, are you flying closer? Like, no, it's just a bigger airframe, which is always a good thing. Makes it a little bit easier to see the precise flying that the wingmen are doing out there.
You guys are, of course, famous for not flying with G-suits, which requires extra training. And especially in this bird, did you guys ever consider going to using the G-suit?
You know, we did, I think, at some point, but at the end of the day, the G-suit's the same. It's really the same system that's used across the, with minor deviations or modifications, rather, across all the aircraft in the military today. And one of the problems that we run into is it actually is more of a safety hazard to fly with it. And what ends up happening is an air bladder on our legs and on our abdomen. And when that inflates and we're flying in precision formation together, it bumps the stick, essentially, or could force us to bump the stick, which is why we elected not to do it. And why we do a rigorous centrifuge training program. Even the selectees, they go out and they spend 2 days getting swung around a centrifuge every year. And when the first time they do it, they get to do that twice within a couple months, just to hone their techniques to make sure there's nothing but the top of their game when it comes to G tolerance.
We're looking around us, and just before we came out here, we had a pretty intense rain burst. Hopefully all sun on Saturday, but what is the plan in case there's rain?
Well, at the end of the day, our first thing is if it's safe for a crowd to be out there, it's safe for us to fly in it. And we have the ability to kind of do some flexing left or right if there's a rain squall that we see in Pensacola come through. But at the end of the day, we have four shows that we can do based upon visibility and weather. And we will degrade, or we'll just bring our maneuvers into different maneuvers as the ceilings lower and the visibility gets to a point to where we don't want to do our other maneuvers and can't do them safely. So we practice to that. And those ability to flex. And at the end of the day, like I said, we'll be ready to rock and looking forward to some fantastic weather.
So I know I always think about how the Blues Max perform these jets, put tremendous stress on the airframe, which is great fun to watch. But can you talk maybe a little bit about the difference between flying these maneuvers and what you do ordinary flying off the carrier?
Right. Well, you know, it's funny. Ordinary flying and flying off the carrier, I've never put together.
Fair enough.
Just kidding. But at the end of the day, the cool thing about we fly these jets to their limit. But one of the things about them is that we fly them relatively light. You know, one of the things we don't maybe appreciate is, although we fly them at about 45,000 pounds, a jet flying off the aircraft carrier can be loaded as much as 66,000 pounds. And there's some tremendous loads that a carrier aircraft. So in many respects, we actually don't perform quite as much as the fleet does, or at least the fatigue on the metals and all the structures in them are in some ways less than you might have on the fatigue on an aircraft carrier. We're loading them up with other fuel tanks or bombs or missiles. and such.
If I gave you an hour on your own just to do one or the other, fly missions or fly these kinds of maneuvers, what do you prefer?
I'll tell you what. I mean, I was a green flight suit and tactical aviator at heart, and that's my heart is. But I'll tell you what. We come here. We represent our fleet. To come here and represent our brothers and sisters in arms who are out there, who by the nature of our naval services, folks just don't get to see us, and to be able to bring that to the American public and make it something that they can reach out and touch and appreciate is something that was super impactful to my life. I remember back to 1986 as a 9-year-old boy looking up at Boss Gilruth, another North Dakota native, leading that team, and it became reality for me at that time that maybe some guy from North Dakota could fly in the Navy. And hopefully maybe we inspire somebody to do that, or maybe we just inspire somebody to go, you know what, maybe I want to bring it to that level of excellence in my own personal job. That's really our goal here today.
How's selection been going this week? You guys all ready to unveil a new team?
Boy, we're getting there. I'll tell you what, have we got a fantastic crop of finalists. It's a rigorous process that goes on for months, and truth be told, folks are really applying for their entirety of their career. That's their track record, because we only want the folks that are ready to rock when they come down here and represent the very best of both the Navy and Marine Corps.
Are you starting to think, or how much I should say, are you starting to think about this being the last beach show for you, last selection week, and last media interviews, all that
you
stuff to come up towards homecoming? How's that sitting with you?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's been a long journey on this team. It's certainly a rigorous journey, but I've had some great advice from my father is to let's soak it in. Take a moment every day to soak it in, whatever you're doing in life. And I've had that advice, whether it was playing team sports growing up, to enjoy the moment. And I'll tell you, every time I walk off this flight line and get a chance to see the fantastic sailors and Marines wrapping up the jets or getting them ready in the morning when they're turning them and smelling that JP5 out there and hearing the sounds that are there, or just appreciating the attitude that this team brings to the table each and every day, I'm taking it in and making sure that every last day of my last 4 months of the team, I've appreciated.
Hey, last question, at least for me, is I think this year you have the most female officers that the Blues have ever had, 3. Has that had an impact on the culture? Anything you've noticed? It is kind of a difference. It's neat.
Yeah, it's cool. I'll tell you, I've been blessed. Throughout my entirety of my career, I've always had the opportunity to serve with female officers. I actually served for the first strike fighter commanding officer, now Vice Admiral, Admiral Joyner. That's been pretty cool. And I'll tell you, it's pretty transparent. And I'll tell you, the cool thing about our diversity brings different strengths to our team. And as far as flying and ground jobs, it's transparent. We hire the best. And if it's a female or male, we hire them. I don't care where they... what they look like or what have you, outside of being prim and proper for our naval, our Navy and Marine Corps standards, we take the very best, and it just so happened the very best were a bunch of females on our team this year.
Andrew hit a lot of my questions, but I just wanted to bounce back to something you talked about. Have you seen bigger crowds this year at the air show, especially, and do you think, if so, is it because of the popularity of the movie Top Gun Maverick, or what's that been like?
I'll tell you what, it's been exciting this year. I think there's a lot of factors that might go into it, and I'll let you all, who are in tune with the populace, probably better than us, draw the blank, but this year has been sellout crowds. We saw it at the end of last year, sellout crowds, record crowds, and it's been fantastic, and I think we're getting a bump based on that. I don't think we perform for less than a sellout crowd. And the one thing I noticed is the excitement factor and the interest level after Top Gun Maverick has been as expected. And ironically, we've worked hand in hand with the 1986 team who transitioned to the Hornet back in the day. And when we did that, they told us about when the first movie came out, there was a bump in excitement level too. So we were expecting it. And we're seeing it right here. And we're actually in the midst of filming an IMAX documentary that's going to feature our team.
Oh, nice.
A lot of the folks in the videography team that was involved in the Top Gun Maverick is around here. You'll probably see a lot of footage from Pensacola in this area. And I think that's going to be great, because it'll give a chance not only for the world to see what the Blue Angels brings to the team, but this entire community brings to and how special it is.
So that's being shot this season?
It is.
And do you know when it's coming out?
I can't speak for... I'm not a Hollywood type. I'm thinking end of 23 is probably what it happens. We'll film through this season. And that's out there. We have a... and we're filming airborne and ground stuff. You actually might see some folks arcing around the town with us getting some IMAX stuff. So it's been exciting, and it's another way to catalog this fantastic team this year.
Okay. Thanks so much for the time, and we appreciate the sacrifice of your family too, letting you be out and do this all the time. So thanks, sir.
Thank Absolutely. They're the ones who... They're the ones who truly have the sacrifice, and I've always told folks that it takes the entire family to serve. It's not just the person wearing the cloth of our nation that does so. So thank you for that. I really appreciate that.